Hi, Lisa. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you? You have that nice Midwestern accent.
Oh, you haven't heard anything yet. I'll throw in all kinds of accents before this interview is over with.
There you go.
In just a couple of weeks, we're going to say welcome to Evansville, aren't we?
Yes, you are, you lucky devils. And in advance, I would like to say you're welcome.
Saturday, July the 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Victory Theater. Is this going to be your first visit to Evansville?
You know, it sounds like it is going to be, but maybe I had such a wonderful / horrible experience last time I blanked it out. But from what I remember, this is my first time gracing your presence.
Oh, you'll love the Victory Theater. Lots of great performers have come and gone in that very old building, and it's a very nice building, too. I was actually there a couple weeks ago. Another comedy legend was there performing, Mr. Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I love Weird Al. He's, like, totally one of my heroes. That guy's the man. How was he?
Oh, it was my sixth show I think I've seen since the mid-80s.
Nice.
Saw him all the way back in, 84, 85.
I loved that spoof he did of Bad, where he did Fat, because I used to be about 250 pounds, and I could totally relate to when all the buttons and the belts and everything popped off that outfit. That was the story of my life. Before I became skinny and beautiful.
Well, and that's how I kind of want to open up things. Oh, my goodness. You have, I think the magic number you said in an interview was 105.6. Is that the magic number?
Well, it's 107, but I love your very specific decimal pointage. But yes, 107, and I kept it off. For 4 years now, I became a long-distance runner. I've been just, like, eating well and exercising, and I'm really lucky that I'm so lovely that still nobody asked me out because I'm still old, but who cares? At least I feel good.
And so many great pictures you've posted over the years of the transformation, and even the time, I think it may have been 3 or 4 years ago, back when you did an interview with Larry King on Larry King Now. At that point, you were just at the 80-pound mark, and oh my goodness, girl, you looked amazing then.
Well, you know what's funny? They did an interview with me in a magazine, and they hired these 4 Chippendale dancers to hold me, like all 4 of them, across, like laid down across Marilyn Monroe style. And so at the time, I had lost only 60. So they only had to really hold up 160 pounds, which ain't bad back in the day. Well, these guys were such wimps. I'm like, it's 40 pounds each. You don't need a break. Cut it out, you homos. But hey, what can I tell you? Now they can hold me up with one hand. That's fantastic.
Oh, that's great. And compliments to you. And I saw some pictures recently on your Facebook page showing that you're still putting in the sweat. So you still are at it.
Oh, yeah. I think the mistake people make when they get weight loss surgery is that they think it's the solution, whereas basically it's a do-over. It's one of these things where you get your stomach cut out so you can't eat like you have 9 rectums anymore. And then you have to work at keeping it off through good habits. So I've been very blessed that I learned this at this age. Hey, you got to work for it too. You can't just consider it a magic bullet.
Well, now with your age and your weight and your strength and everything, does that help you when you go on stage now? Does it help you with a 2-hour set?
That's funny. That's a great question, which no one has asked me. Very good. Yes, because I started doing a Q&A during the set, which adds about 45 minutes on. So I do a really long show now, but not to where the point the audience is bored, but just have way more fun because I'm running up the aisles, getting questions from people. My energy level is like a 19-year-old, and I think that's why the shows to me are more fun, and I started getting standing ovations again. Plus, I started doing these crazy hair colors and haircuts because I kind of feel like I'm getting a cosmic do-over, that I'm 19 years old or something. I'm delusional in that I think I'm still young. So I figure, hey, why not? It's a whole new life for me.
And you've got the blue going right now, right?
Yeah, man. It's so cool. Somebody once said to me, though, they thought it was for autism awareness. And I'm like, I took full credit. I said, absolutely. I'll take any credit I can get when it comes to charity.
Now, after the NBC Celebrity Apprentice, the 5th season, which you were on, you had remarked that finally you were getting noticed on the street, and then you were, you know, people would come up to you, and then you lost 107 pounds, and now people don't recognize you anymore.
Again, a very good question. It's like, how come a DJ in Evansville, Indiana, can have better questions than most of these idiots in life. so anyway, yes, you are absolutely right. I get recognized nowhere now. I live in New York City, and you would think they'd be like, oh, it's Lisa Lampanelli. Now I'm just some weirdo with crazy hair. So yeah, I'm very lucky that I, in a way that I don't get recognized, but kind of once in a while for the self-esteem, it would be nice to get a little bit of a tip, you know?
Well, all they need to do is go back. I found on Hulu, I did not know it existed on Hulu, but your stand-up special, Back to the Drawing Board, which I think began on Epix, and now they can find it on Hulu, and I'm sure probably lots of other places. If they want to see your new look and your stand-up now, they can check this out.
Yeah, and it's really funny. I got to be honest with you. That is the proudest special I have. I've done five or six specials for TV, HBO, Comedy Central, Epix, and this is the latest one to get nominated for a Grammy. And yes, I did lose, and that's okay because I lost to Louis C.K., so he totally deserved it. But I tell you, I go, wow, this one I actually can listen to and go, I reveal a lot more about myself like I do now in my show. So I'm really proud of it.
We have a little clip, and occasionally I'll play it overnight when I'm needing something to fill. And it's a comedy clip, and I don't remember what the name of the guy is, but it's comedy albums versus rock albums. And
right.
Comedy albums, people will hear it. But then when they go see the person on stage, well, they've heard that before, so they don't necessarily want to hear it again. But if they go to a rock concert, and if you miss one note of your favorite song, they go crazy because you missed a note of their favorite song. Do you find that's a problem when you have all these times you have to go up on stage and perform in front of people? You've got to constantly come up with brand new stuff all the time?
Yes, you've got to constantly bring it. And I think that's why I do the Q&A, is because when people, if you ever heard the crazy-ass questions that they come up with, there's no way you can rehearse it or know in advance what they're going to ask. So what's great is even if they've heard maybe a tenth of the material, they forgive you that tenth if you bring the other stuff. And, man, at least an hour of my show every night people have never heard on TV, and that feels really good because you go, I want them to get their money's worth. They don't want to see something that they've seen before. It's great.
The only people I can remember who I would want to listen to exactly what they had on album was people like Steve Martin back in the 70s or a Don Rickles or a George Carlin or somebody like that.
Yeah, because it's almost like they're such legends, you want to hear their greatest hits. Rickles, I think, hasn't done a different show in 50 years, and if he had, I would have been pissed off. I want to see that stuff I came to you to love about you from the beginning. So, and also, you know who's terrific with this? Do you know Brian Regan at all? He's sort of at my level. He does the places that I play. This guy legitimately has greatest hits that the people yell out at the end of the show, because he was having people yell out bits during the show, and it's annoying. So we go, look, we'll save all that for later. And then he does like an hour of greatest hits. So some comics just have these legendary things they want people, that people just demand of them. And it's really cool.
Speaking of Rickles, you and I are just a couple years apart. So you vividly remember, I vividly remember, and this is probably, if I read right, this is what got you going, was the old Dean Martin roast on TV all the time. That's... I mean, you know, how good is good? That is good.
Oh, my God. Dean Martin roasts were what I grew up on. I watched them with my dad, my mom, my sister, and brother. So I really thought that was what comedy was. You know, it must be a bunch of guys sitting around having a good time together. And, you know, so obviously then I gravitated towards the insult comedy, towards the roasts on TV, and it really shaped my whole career. So I'm so happy that's what made me do comedy in the first place. I love those, man.
And you, before you got into comedy, I found this very interesting. You were a journalism career going. You were working with magazines like Popular Mechanics, Rolling Stone, Spy Magazine,
yeah.
And I love to comment, you talked about how obsessed you were with the comma.
Oh, my God, I need to have everything perfect. Like, if I read on my website that my assistant has let a comma or a semicolon slip, I have a fit. They're all fired. I am obsessed with, and I know no one will ever care as much as I do, but there's something about me as a former copy editor and journalist that I want perfection with that. You know, I'm imperfect, but my grammar never is.
I get the opportunity across the street from the Victory Theater at the Ford Center to perform as the MC for a minor league hockey team, and sometimes I'll get started in one of my little bits, and I'll misword something, and some of my miswording will just have me off for the rest of the night. Do you go through nights like that?
Oh, that's funny. That's a great question. I will try to seize it before I'm off the rest of the night. But I find if I've sort of not been on stage for a couple of weeks, I get like a marble mouth thing where I don't say a word right. And I go, I just address it with the audience. Like, that's the difference. I can just say, hey, sorry I effed that up, folks, but I haven't been on stage for a couple of weeks. But don't worry, I'm going to get it right. So I kind of like call myself on it so that the show doesn't sort of go downhill and crazy. But, you know, hey, nobody's perfect, and I think people like knowing that we all make mistakes just like they do.
And with all of your roast that you've now have been fortunate to have been a part of, one of the ones that I remember the most was a big fan of Gene Simmons' Family Jewels. And
yes,
you got to be part of that roast, I think, back in 2008.
Yes.
What was that like? That seemed like that was a very, very fun night.
That legitimately was a trip because I was not used to cool people liking me. So in other words, when you're up there doing a roast and these rock stars are like thrilled with what you're doing and cheering you on, and you see like Scott Ian from Anthrax and, you know, Gene Simmons and Danny Bonaducci, because the Partridge Family, that was a cool band. When you see that kind of stuff and they're like thrilled for you, I'm like, man, I got a whole new audience here of these rockers. So it was really good for my self-esteem. I had the best time. And usually those roasts aren't that much fun. They're a lot of pressure. But I felt like Gene Simmons got the jokes. He understood it was coming from the right place. And boy, what a good sport that guy was.
He really does seem, with a persona he puts on, he really seems like a fairly down-to-earth guy.
The best. I mean, I had no problem with him whatsoever. I've actually bumped into him on vacations and things like that. I've got to say, he's a really good guy. I honestly haven't really roasted anyone other than Chevy Chase, who was a douchebag. I mean, Chevy was the only one who couldn't take a joke, but that's his personal demon, so I didn't take any responsibility for that.
Your portion of a roast is sometime very small, just, you know,
right,
a couple, 3 minutes. But how much actual work do you do getting ready for an actual celebrity roast?
It's at least a month of work, because what happens is you have to sort of research the person and not just make fun of the surfacey things. Like, in other words, you don't want to roast Pam Anderson and do only big boob jokes. You want to be able to do a whole lot of, you know, different subjects so that if somebody goes before you and covers your topic, that you're not sort of repeating. So it's about a month of really hard work, a lot of rehearsing, a lot of writing. I mean, I always write about 10 times the jokes I'm going to need for the roast because you cut so many out. So, yeah, it's definitely a month's work of hard, hard labor.
And all the hard work you're getting ready to do that you've been putting into your stage show that we'll see in Evansville on July the 23rd, you're also doing something else. Have you done stuff on Broadway yet, or is this all getting ready to start taking shape, or is it the work going right now into what you're going to be doing with Stuffed on Broadway?
Right, yes. Yeah. Stuffed is a play that I wrote. It's four actresses talking about food, weight, and body image. And I've been writing that for between, you know, it had different iterations between 2 and 5 years so far. And I haven't performed it yet. We've done little workshops of it, but it hasn't had a big opening yet. So it's opening off Broadway September 23rd, and the official opening is October 7th in New York City. So what's cool about it is it's sort of a whole different world because it's funny, but it's emotional too. So stand-up's just kind of like being all funny. This play allows me to really kind of talk about an issue that's important to me, but be funny about it too, plus emotions. So yeah, so that's like a whole different animal. And I love the fact that I could do both and have neither one suffer. And actually, both of them got better when I was working on each.
And when you're coming to Evansville, now I'll get back to coming to Evansville. What exactly are people in store for? And I'll have the dump button on standby.
Oh, well, basically, I don't curse on the air because I don't want to.
Well, you're being recorded, so I can. I've got the power of computers. So,
Well, let's put it this way: any race, creed, sexual abomination, whatever you are, better not sit in the front unless you love to be made fun of. Because I know when I went to see Rickles, I really loved the fact that he included me. I think it's really fun to be a part of the show, and a lot of people love that. But now, to be honest with you, even sitting in the back isn't going to save you, because like I said, I got so much energy, I run around to the audience. So don't try to hide from me. It's gentle, but let's put it this way. You'll be splattered like at a Gallagher show, but it won't be with watermelon.
And talk about this Q&A afterwards that you've been talking a little bit about.
Oh, yeah, it's during the show. What I do is I do about 40 minutes of stand-up and have a good time with it. And then I take questions from the audience. So I bring out my opening act. He comes out and he's the MC, and we just kind of field questions from the audience until it stops. And fortunately, so many people ask questions. It's gone on for sometimes as much as 45 minutes to an hour, but everybody just seems so in awe about the honesty and the rawness of it that they seem to really, enjoy that part of the show a lot. So again, I just feel really blessed that they care enough to ask questions and want to hear funny answers.
Well, that kind of takes you back to another legendary show, the Carol Burnett Show, where she would do that.
That's a great point. That was my show, man. That's the era that I loved. And again, it has to be just a little bit revealing for them. It's still funny. There's always punchlines that kind of come out of talking. So, yeah, to me, keeping me on my toes is making me funnier.
Well, with that in mind, because it seems like you and I are going back through the same set of TV shows, were you a big game show fanatic?
I definitely was. And P.S., the best nights of my life now are game nights at home with my mom and my family and my friends. I'm really into games.
I didn't get to see this anywhere, but I know they've had reincarnations of Match Game and Family Feud and stuff like that. Were you ever a panelist on any of the games?
I just did Celebrity Name Game.
Oh, cool.
3 episodes. And oh my God, dude, when you win money for people, I have no idea it was that much fun. Like, you just feel so happy for these people. There was one episode where I won some couple 20 grand. I was freaking out. I was so happy. It was like I was getting the money. And it just feels good. So, yeah, I would do any of those. I think they're a blast.
What was your favorite game show growing up?
Match Game. It was the old one in high school. I mean, I love that. But I love Brett Summers. I loved all those old broads.
Have you seen the new one with Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, it really tickles me. I'm so happy they're all coming back. And, oh, my God, I'm going to have my agent call and see if they could get me on, because I'm going to win. I'm very competitive, so I'll win. I'll beat you.
Anything else coming up in the not-too-far distant future? Any more specials or anything, any more roast or anything that you can tell us about?
I just had a meeting with my manager and agent a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about doing another special, because I taped that other one about a year and a half ago. And, you know, every year or so, I get the itch to sort of record. So usually we record one every two and a half years. So, yeah, there'll probably be another one in the future, probably within the next year or so. So, yeah, I'll keep you apprised of the situation. But, yeah, that and the play and just keeping track of my dog, everything's good.
Speaking of that, real quick, I think you have a BFF, and his name is Parker.
Yes, he's sitting here sleeping with me right now, and he is so cute. He's such a diva, though. He doesn't come on the road with me anymore because his rider was longer than mine. It's like he's so demanding, and he wants his own seat in first class. I'm like, listen, bitch, I'm the one who earned this. You didn't, but he don't listen to me. What can I tell you?
Well, I will include all the links along with this on our website so people can hunt you down. And really enjoy what I've been enjoying for the last couple of days doing my homework for this. But it's such an enjoyable 20 minutes there. I can't believe we've just been talking 20 minutes. It seems like 5.
I know. See, that's the thing. When I say to you, good question, I actually mean it, because having been a former journalist myself, I hate the boring questions. And I'm like, oh, my God, someone who actually knows what I do and who I am and asks something interesting. So, man, thank you. This flew by, and the next time I come back to Evansville, I'll try to come in the studio if I get there a day early.
Oh, it sounds great. That'll be awesome, and I can't wait to see you on Saturday, July 23rd. You absolutely love the Victory Theater and the and the folks that work there. I really hope you have a great time in Evansville.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much, man. This was great.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay. God bless. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.